Welcome, everyone. Round 18, the Big Footy Supercoach podcast. Joining us today, as usual, is Wayne and hopefully Steve. I'm not sure. He might have a couple of issues at the moment with Zoom, but we've also got with us today Dusty. Welcome, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Sorry, I should clarify. It's a bit dusty. What's the story with a bit?
I'm not sure. It's just something I've come up with, I suppose.
Now, fair enough. Wayno, how are you, mate? Good to see you again.
I'm good, mate. Another frustrating week, but I'm sure I'm not alone.
Now, let's get straight into it. So we might hand over to Dusty because we'll just call you Dusty. I'm not going to call you a bit Dusty. It's just too bloody confusing.
Yeah, it's fine.
So doing pretty well this year. Do you want to give us a bit of a rundown on how you're travelling and how your side's going and perhaps maybe take us through your side and anything there you might change or you're going to change or... Do you have any trades to change?
Well, I currently got two trades left. And I've been on two trades since round 14.
Wow.
So I traded pretty hard right up until the buys and through the buys. Just trying to get the ranking up pretty much. So, you know, round three, I think I was ranked about 16,000. And I was pretty much doing 2-3 trades every week from then on.
Dusty, what did you use as your philosophy on the boost?
It was all about cash generation. So, and look, I love the mid prices where you can still make money. You know, I don't mind getting an 80 average player if they're and holding them for 4 or 5 weeks if they're going to make me 100,000.
Yeah.
So we've had this discussion on the podcast quite a few times that this year has been a year for the mid prices where, you know, normally most years the guns and rookies has really served people well, but this year those that started with the mid price and start of the year have just flown into the season doing well. Is that been your experience? You started with quite a few mid prices, I guess.
Yeah. Well, like even guys like Sicily, who I suppose is a mid pricer at 450 starting price. But I did start with, you know, guys like Cogs and Brody, which are, you know, they're keepers. So, I did, after round two, I was one of the ones that went early on Witts, and I actually traded Gorn out for Witts. And, you know, that sort of made a big difference. I made 250K out of that, and I was able to upgrade McGovern. I think I traded to Hall, which that worked out all right for about 3 weeks, and then he got injured. So... But for a while it worked well. But, you know, and then I made a few mistakes early on. I started Dusty. I shouldn't have, but sort of went with my heart, not my head.
I didn't know you started Dusty because I would have jumped on your back for that.
Okay. I held him as well. It wasn't just after that first round. I held him till about round six on the bench.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, I was looking at... I was looking at Balmain Forever's side the other day because I was playing, obviously. You still got Noddy on the bench.
Oh, really?
Can you believe that? 300K and you've left him sitting on a... I don't even know why. That's just bizarre. So, anyway, where are you ranked at the moment?
452.
And you've used no trades for three rounds.
Yeah.
But, Dusty, am I correct? Your bench is pretty strong.
Yeah, I've got a strong bench. So,
what's your bench?
Why don't we just go through your whole side? Do you want to read out your side, starting with the back line?
Okay, so the back line, I've got Sicily, Sinclair, Doherty, Hewitt, Houston. I've currently got Dacos at D6 and Bligstaves at D7.
Wow.
And I've just got Mitchell Cox as me floating donut defender mid.
Hey, I've got Mitch Cox too. Start of the year with him. I've never met anyone else that's got Mitch Cox. Hey.
And I'll tell you what, I've used him a lot over the last few weeks. He's been good. Midfield, I've got Oliver, Laird, Tuke, Neil, McRae, Zach Merritt, Petrarca and Cripps.
Oh, that's my midfield, yeah. Exactly.
The bench, I've got Shorty at M9, McComb and Clark from the Tigers. Then Rucks, I've got Gorn and Witts. And I've got Akai or something like that, the Carlton Ruck defender.
Oh, yeah.
Who is the one that I'm using to swing Blickstars. I actually had Blickstars at R2 for about 3 weeks while Gorn was injured. And then forwards, I've got Cogs is actually me F1 at the moment. Brody, Himmelberg, Darcy Cameron, Dunkley, and Butters.
Oh, you got Butters still?
Yeah, still got Butters. And I've got Paddy Mack at F7 with Teagle.
Oh, that's an impressive bench.
Yeah. You can afford to have two trades with that sort of bench.
You got Nick Dacos on the ground too and Jaden Short on your bench.
I only did that this week. I thought bugger it. Like, I think Dacos was averaging about 105 or something in the last few rounds. And Shorty was about 85. So I thought, well, I might as well take a punt.
Yeah, shit.
So I played Dacos and he got 99 and Short got 95. So
so you even got that right?
Yeah. So, but it looks like, I don't know about Oliver, I'd say he'll probably miss this week. So I just got Shorty, can go straight in, sort of in the midfield there. You know, and hopefully he can pull out 100. I'll be happy with that.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's going to be the topic of a conversation later in the podcast is what do we do about Oliver because he doesn't look too crash hot. Well, why don't we talk about that now? So, obviously, you're okay with Oliver Dusty because you just bring Short onto the field. What are you going to do, Wayne, if he's out? This is the frustrating thing because he doesn't play till Sunday afternoon, so he won't know. Well, we'll know final teams Friday night, but realistically, if there's something wrong with him, they're not going to announce that. It'll be a laid out last minute. And Jack Steele obviously plays on the Friday night, which is the most obvious replacement if you're going to move Oliver onto someone. What do you plan to do, Wayne?
I'm going to hold trades. I'll put my team up.
Just for those watching at home, if you can just bear that. Yes, we'll, yes there you go. His team's in front. Do you see that everyone watching from home?
So the way that I've set it up, I've got pretty much all of my defence, Dawson, Sinclair, Hewitt, Short, Whitfield, McCartan, are all DPP players. So with regard to Oliver, what I'll do is I'll swing one of those defenders into the midfield, and I'll run with Weir at D6 for the week.
With his 36 points?
Yeah, that was the whole GWS game was a shit show. The coach was throwing players all over the place. The team initially was unbalanced. With all his moves, he just unbalanced the team even further. So I think that was just an outlier of a week. I hope so, because I can't have Whitfield putting out another 46. talking about being a rankings destroyer.
Fucking comical. That is comical. You still got Sheffield.
I still got him. But if he doesn't shape up, he becomes Stewart.
If he doesn't shape up at round 18, if he doesn't shape up.
Look, he's had high 90s for the last 2 weeks. So he's been all right. He's certainly not my worst defender. I'd have to say Short was probably the basket case. And he was dead set to go to Stewart at the beginning of last round. But I think Whitfield has probably overtaken him at the moment. McCartan at D6, I'm going to hold for the season. I said that at the last podcast. More than happy to hold him. And I've got the interchangeability with him now and Himmelberg up forward. So I can interchange. I can loop, hopefully, with Weir. But I've also got Burgoyne there that's scored a couple of nearly 70s. And he's due to go up by 59,000 this week. So he's not been a bad player. And his job security looks good, for at least for the next 2 weeks. So he should earn me another $100,000, which is really good to have at this time of the year. So I'm more than happy. I've got four trades. One of those trades will be Weir down, and he should still give me another 20, 25,000 in the next couple of weeks. So that's going to give me about 270, 280 in the bank. To use the last three trades, and hopefully those last three trades will all be direct one-for-one trade upgrades. God forbid if we don't have any injuries.
Yeah, I think at this stage of the year, you've got to conserve your trades, and you don't want to be cashing stuff players out. It's just a one-for-one trade, I reckon, this time of the year.
Yeah. I always wanted to have one player that was earning enough on the bench that I could cash into a 102 and give me 270, 280 in the bank. That allows me to do almost any upgrade, three upgrades on my side coming into the league finals.
Yeah. So for me, not a lot has changed. Sinclair, Sicily, Hewitt, Crisp, Short. Bought Stephen Mayne this week for Paddy. Paddy outscored him, which is a bloody pissed me right off. But Stephen May, I think, had about 9 clangers or something. Probably should have been a 130 game. So relatively happy for that at that price. Obviously, Wayno decided to give me some shit before he found out that Stephen May had a 15 in his rolling average, and that's why he was only 380K, but was averaging 97 before he got knocked out. Weir and D'Ambrosio on the bench. Midfield, Oliver, Laird, Miller, Neil, McRae, Merritt, Petraka, Cripps, which seems pretty stock standard and identical to Dusty. And then on the bench there, Cox as well. I'm really happy someone else has got Cox because I've had him all year. And Howe now with his TPP as well. So probably looking the big disappointment for me this week is that I can't loop Weir and D'Ambrosio because Brisbane play before both of them, so I can't use them as loop. So I'll just have to take a guess with one of them. English and Whitson Ruck, and then down forward, Bontepelli, Brody, Himmelberg, Cameron, Dunkley and Parker. But this is the way I like to look at my team at this stage of the year, because I reckon it doesn't matter what looks like on paper. If you go to your list of players and then sort it by the 5-round average and then filter by line.
Yep.
So if I go from the forward line, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I've got 6 of the top 11 players in the forward line. Missing Cogs. Yep, shouldn't have traded him out. Shit happens. Libba and Rosie and Bailey Smith, but pretty much got all the top forwards. Rocks will be top with English and Darcy Cameron and Witts in there.
No Max Gorn.
No, I haven't got him back in yet. Midfield, it looks a bit strange, a 5-round average at the moment, because we've got Uniacke and Libba in there and that sort of stuff. But I think if you actually went by pure average, yeah, you'd find I've got 8 of the top 11. But I think defence is where it's a real issue for most people at the moment. Now, Tom Stewart's obviously out, but some of the previously high-flying people like Sicily, even Jack Crisp, I don't know where Jack Crisp is now, he's ranked He's ranked 33 on a 5-round average at the moment, Jack Crisp, which is absolutely bizarre because he was flying earlier in the year. So those with Short and Crisp at the moment are suddenly running into some problems down back.
Did Jack Crisp play in the midfield on the weekend?
Didn't see the game, to be honest. Didn't see the game.
Dusty, did you happen to notice?
No, I didn't watch that game.
Okay. I would have thought with Degoe out that Crisp would have had a big game.
Well, he's 3-round average now. He's 78.7, which is really bad. And he was flying early on. I mean, he was up to averaging 105 at one stage, and now he's got a 3-round average of 78. So, I don't know. He's one of those luxury trades. And I think we were just talking off air before we started joining this. For me now, I think I've ranked 8,000 thereabouts. I'm not going to win the thing. So it's all about cashies and cash leagues for me now. It's about avoiding relegation, that sort of stuff. So I might just take a punt. I might just take a punt and go Crisp to Dawson or something bizarre like that just to...
What about the Whitfield?
Yeah, there'd be fucking no chance I'm doing that. No, that's my team.
I tell you what's worrying me is the Bulldogs. If the Bulldogs fall out of contention completely, and I think they're on the verge of that.
They're already there, surely.
The word is they might warehouse Bontempelli early and have the shoulder up. Now, I hope to God that doesn't happen, but that's a concern.
Yeah, I don't think you're playing around that. I just think it just depends what you're doing. I mean, if you're in Dusty's position, obviously you're going for it. I mean, sweet fuck, all you can do with two trades anyway, you've got to hold them at that stage. But, you know, if you're going for overall, you just got to hold as long as you possibly can and only trade when there's an injury that comes along. But if you're playing for cash leagues and that sort of stuff and you're sitting, you know, that sort of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 on the ladder, you just got to use your trades now to get into finals. And, I mean, it's ideal to have them hold them there, but there's no point in missing finals coming ninth and having a couple of trades up your sleeve. So it's sort of do or die time now, I reckon.
Well, I've got three forwards that have me genuinely concerned going forward. Bontempelli, for what I just said. Himmelberg, where in the heck are they going to play him? Forward, back, ruck, right? And lastly, with Cameron, what happens when Grundy comes back? So there's three players.
Well, is Grundy going to come back, though?
Sorry?
Wasn't Grundy due back round 23 or something?
Yeah, 2021 thereabouts. But the reports during the week was he's only just started running.
I don't reckon he plays again this year, and it'd be interesting to see what Collingwood sport. I mean, he's listed as 2 to 3 weeks at the moment. When was that updated? Okay, that was updated on the 8th of July. What? The 8th of July, wasn't it? The weekend?
Yeah.
That was Friday. Yeah, so on Friday they're saying 2 to 3 weeks.
But so that brings him around. You can't think he's going to come straight back into the league side.
I don't reckon they rush him back a week before finals. I just can't see it happening. And as much as I love the way Collingwood's playing at the moment, I can't see them winning. I can't see them reaching a prelim. They might. They'll probably reach a semi at least. So I can't see Brodie Grundy playing again this year. I don't know why you'd risk him, especially when you've got him locked in for that 10-year period. But I don't know. Strange things have happened.
Dusty, have you got what are your plans in terms of using those two trades? Do you have plans, or are they just purely injury?
They're purely injury. I'm just going to hold out. And like you said, Cameron is a concern if Grundy comes back. If that does happen, then I might end up swinging Cameron to R3 and trading Blixars just for the best forward I can get.
Yep.
So, you know, he's 508,000 at the moment. You know, if he can get up to 520, 530, I might just take the punt on the best forward I can get. But if not, I'll just be holding out as long as I've got 20 fit players playing.
Did you say you had English?
No, I don't have English.
No, okay. Yeah, so Cameron's your only backup ruckman, basically.
No, well, I've got Blixars at D7 at the moment.
I'm thinking as a swing-in, so that's why you're going to put Cameron at R3, because you need some sort of backup in the ruck.
Possibly, yeah. And that way, because I've got Deagle at F8. So if worse comes to worse, then I could always swing Cameron back forward if a forward was injured or whatever. But that's not a worst case. You know, hopefully it doesn't happen. But
this is where McCartan comes in really handy, because if either one of those three forwards, Bont, Himmelberg or Cameron, fall off the perch, I can swing McCartan forward, and then one of those three players becomes Stewart or Sicily or someone else. Because quite frankly, I can't see too many other forwards that I want to bring in.
Well, this is what pissed me off, because I traded Paddy last week for May, which was a sound thing at the time, but what I didn't realise, which I should have, is that Himmelberg was going to get that swing.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it's too late. The horse is bolted. I think May's a good selection. He'll hold me well at D6, and he'll outscore Paddy for the rest of the year. But
Paddy looked pretty good on the weekend.
He looked pretty shit the week before too.
Oh yeah, yeah. But Paddy's playing the same sort of game as May. He's the last anchor on that Sydney defence, and if you kick the ball high, he's marking everything.
Yeah, but prior to last week, he had never scored a 90. Whereas Stephen May was averaging 97 and had 5 tons.
Yeah.
So, when I'm looking at the two of them and there's 18K difference, well, any day of the week,
you're going to If you look at the position rates from when McCartan was kind of scoring 70s to when he has scored a 90, there's only three or four positions and a couple of contested marks difference in his scoring. So he only had to improve a very small percentage to really boost that scoring, and that's what he did on the weekend.
Yeah, I just can't see it consistently. I reckon May outscores Paddy quite comfortably in the run home from here. But, you're right, Paddy was pretty awesome on the weekend. But as I said before, though, Stephen May had 8 clangers, so you take them out, he scored 130, 140.
Talking of putrid, and we haven't been, but I want to raise it. English was absolutely putrid on the weekend.
Well, Witz wasn't much better.
Oh.
Fuck that guy. All year I've resisted and laughed at you. I finally bring him in and he scored, a 60 and an 80?
So, no. English, massive disappointment. Didn't even look to be competitive. In fact, you look at the typical player that comes back from a concussion. Normally the first game back from a concussion is normally pretty average.
It's getting pretty late in the season to do this, but we'll keep up what we've always done. Any rookies on the horizon? There's a couple, actually. There's Jace Burgoyne, defender mid from Port.
Yep.
Possibly a good move for those that are concerned about Oliver but don't want to trade him out. We'll give them that swing option, because certainly a lot of teams I'm looking at, they haven't got that defensive mid switch in the midfield. So that may be a good option for people. Might download a Howe or something like that down to Burgoyne and give him that swing to cover Oliver, and then use Ware or Ambrosio as cover. James Blank from Hawthorn, I think he's played 3 games now, hasn't he? Not scoring too well, though, only mid-40s. Noah Cumlin on the weekend, I thought, for Richmond was really good. I thought he played well, kicked a couple of goals, though, and still scored a 62. So whether he can keep that up or not, who knows?
Dusty, what's your view on Cumlin?
He was all right. So I don't think he'll have a full-time role in the team. So, he was the sub. He only came on because Lynch got injured too.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's Lynch Halong's he out for?
Apparently a few weeks is what I heard.
Yeah, because I thought Cumberland played quite well in that role when he came on. I'm wondering if he keeps that role.
He probably will at the moment because we've got no rucks. So I don't even know who will use in the ruck.
Is Soldo, I mean, Soldo still fit?
No, he got injured too.
Oh, did he?
He got Nank?
Yeah, and Nank, apparently Nank was right at the end of the game. So they sort of haven't said too much, but apparently...
Sorry, is Nank both, injured, is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, PCL.
I missed that.
But they're saying that he's a test for this week.
No, no chance.
He won't play.
Not if he did a PCL.
Yeah. They're also bloody saying Hall's back this week. Jesus Christ.
And the only other two rookies to really have a look at from last round were Michael Carter. I don't know. He's got two first names. 57 from the Brisbane Lions, just a straight defender. And the other one which caught my eye was Josh Carmichael from Collingwood, who's got that mid-forward eligibility and 102K. Not sure about his security in the side. I suppose I'm really now interested in Noah Cumberland now that we just had a discussion on the lack of rucks at Richmond, because I need that forward mid link. I don't have it at the moment. So I've got Rioli up forward and no one to switch him with. So, and I've only got Howe to defend in the midfield. So that might be a really good option. I might seriously have a look at Noah Cumberland during the week and see how he goes, because if there's no other ruckman, well...
Surely Cully has to be in, get a game soon. He's been in the squad for the last 2 weeks. So he must be getting close.
Who?
Jai Cully from West Coast.
Okay.
Yeah, 102 mid-season draft, big-bodied midfielder. It's been on the in the squad and listed as an emergency for the last two games, but he has to be getting close.
Yeah, don't know what his job security would be like though. I reckon West Coast are a scary side now. Not big scary, but you wouldn't want to play him in the last couple of weeks. I reckon they'll take a scalp somewhere. They'll cause an upset. Because they've got all the players back now. I reckon they'll cause a bit of a problem, West Coast. They wouldn't be playing it. In fact, I'd be interested to know who they play.
Do you think there's going to be a few of those bottom clubs that are going to be blooding players in the last four or five games? Once they're out of contention and the season's almost coming to a close,
West Coast will be out of contention
you'll start seeing a few of these players being blooded.
So West Coast got, just out of interest, Hawthorn. I don't know where that is. It's MCG. Then they've got St Kilda over there. That'd be interesting. Then they've got Gold Coast at Metricon. Then Adelaide there. Who cares? Then they've got the Derby. And then they've got Geelong at Geelong. Yeah. So look, probably won't threaten Geelong. Probably won't threaten Freo. God, don't say that three times. But interesting to see them against Kilda and also the Gold Coast Suns is to sort of see. They might have a bit of the same things. Interesting.
Yeah, they're not playing bad footy at the moment.
They're playing
pretty good. St Kilda's the enigma. You just don't know what's going to happen from one week to the next.
Yeah. Well, you can say about a lot of sides at the moment in Brisbane.
We won't talk about Captain Neil. I mean, that was. I know I'm ranting a lot, you know, around English, Whitfield, but gee, I had some players in my team that just didn't.
Here's a sliding doors moment for you. So I had the VC on Oliver, and Neil had a great record against Essendon. Yeah. And I thought, I'll Captain Neil. And anyway, I took the kids to the swimming pool on Sunday, and I go set my alarm at 1 o'clock to go and change my captain and Neil. And I set my alarm at 1 o'clock, and I don't know, I must have missed my alarm or something. You know, looked at my watch and gone, shit, it's 3 minutes away. I get to the locker and I'm typing in my bloody number on the locker. Couldn't get the locker open. Finally get it open. I've missed the bounce by about, I don't know, 10 seconds. Like, just missed it. And I was fucking spitting chips. I go, oh, well, I'll fucking have to leave it on lead then. So I left it on lead.
Yeah.
And ended up getting 1 point more than Oliver. But the irony is that had I switched my captain, I would have lost two of my league matches by 3 points or less. So, sliding on the moments.
Look, I know it's a gamble, but you would have thought against Essendon that the most contested possession side in the AFL, you would have expected him to turn up. So, I mean, at worst, you probably expected to lose 14 or 15 points, but not an 89.
Yeah, especially with his record against. I've already got 190-odd last time and 160 the game before that or something.
Yeah. But and people saying that he was tagged. He wasn't tagged. Yeah, he had an opponent, but he was his own worst. He just didn't put in. Didn't put in. Right? Didn't run hard. He doesn't get
It wouldn't be a big footy Supercoach podcast without me again calling the scrap the VC and the C. It's just a fucking joke. Just have team versus team.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I haven't given it a lot of thought.
It's just a flip a coin bullshit. I mean, look, Supercoach is enough guesswork as it is trying to pick players in form and getting those sort of players in without literally this VCC. It is literally just flip a coin. Like, it's total random lottery. It's just something we don't need in the game, in my opinion.
Yeah. Although the counter argument to that is the fact that you can VC. So you can loop your VC, almost should guarantee most teams get a reasonable captain score each week. Because you get two guys.
I argue you shouldn't even be able to loop your VC, because that rule that was brought in way back when we had lockout at 7 o'clock on a Friday. As soon as the first game started, the whole round was locked out. That's what the VC was brought in for, so that if your captain didn't play or his late withdrawal, you had a VC as a backup. But then when they brought in the rolling lockouts, they kept the VC when they should have absolutely pissed that off. So that's just these lazy pricks running this game that have no frigging idea and make up the rules halfway through a round as they see fit, and then we'd all just go along with it.
In a tiebreaker, what's your thoughts? Hello, Dusty?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on the VC and captains in Supercoach?
Yeah, a bit of Jessica said, you know, it is. I think once you lock them in at the start of the round, they should be locked. And you shouldn't be out of loop. So that's just my thoughts. I remember the good old days when we only had 20 trades. You know, if you did a trade, even like now on a Monday night, you couldn't reverse that trade. So you had to go and sort of ride it before, you know, the game started and that. So it has gone too far one way, I reckon.
I remember when you used to have to fill out the Age newspaper and cut it out and put it in an envelope and post it in the Age every week.
I thought you were going to say you could fax it.
Well, I don't think I think you had to do it so you had the original, so you bought the paper to be able to do it. But
imagine doing it now.
Because everyone was gung-ho, and then you get to about round 60, I couldn't be bothered filling out and setting it.
Imagine that now. It would take 2 weeks for your letter to arrive at the paper.
All right, I mean, I know we're all low on trades, but anyone in particular over the next couple of weeks that we're looking at? Tom Stewart's probably too far away. We'd probably write him off, won't we?
No, I'm bringing in Stewart. So two more weeks and I bring him in. I will look carefully at upgrading Cripps. I didn't like what I saw on the weekend, but I haven't got enough evidence from Steele. And his price is not going to move too much over the next couple of weeks. So I can afford to sit and wait and have a bit more of a look. I've got the money. If I need to pay a little bit more for steel and upgrade Cripps, I can do that. I've got the money there to do it. And then
yeah, I hate myself for bringing in Patrick Cripps. I hate myself for doing that.
Yeah, I swore I'd never do it.
There's Dusty, Tom Mitchell, and Patrick Cripps on my three never, ever, 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 ever.
Yep.
And then the bloody Patrick Cripps, I kept watching him get those 140s and 140 every week, and I've gone, just have to do it, don't I? And he has done nothing since.
No, and that was my thinking as well. I don't think I brought him in until a couple of weeks after he did his hammy. So I was determined not to bring him in, but I was just losing too much ground. I had to bring him in. But he's the sort of player that you can start the year with, and then you start him with the plan to trade him out, you know, before the buys. Because he's not good on the run home. His body just gets too battered.
Well, he has to go, in my view. Like, he's one of those. I mean, I've got three trades left, but I can't stand looking at his name on my side anymore. I just got to piss him off. What's his five-round average?
You can't bank on him. But the question is, can you bank on Steele?
Well, no. So I said this in the XVY thing. Like, I haven't seen much from Steele. He started like a bullet the other day, but I don't know. He's not whether he's not tackling, he's just not the same person. I'm not sure he's right. But who does interest me, which is roughly the same price as Steele, is Keys from Adelaide.
Yeah.
What's interesting about Keys, and I have been watching him all year, and he's been on my radar, and I was going to get him, but ended up going Petrarca instead. But the interesting thing about Keys is he's had one game of 68, and every other game has been 96 or above. In fact, he's got 1, 2, 3, he's got 15 out of 17 games he's turned up.
Yep. Yeah, they're not going to tag him.
No.
And he's going
to tag him first.
But he's very much in the Taranto mold. His disposal efficiency is not great, but he gets a lot of it, and he's played in the midfield and he's not tagged.
But he's scored 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 games. He's scored 110 or more.
Yeah. Yep.
Like for me, I can go Patrick Cripps to him and it costs me 30K.
Yes.
No, I'd much rather go and grab Ben Keys than I would go and grab Steele, because I Steele just doesn't convince me. And when I ask the question, someone goes, oh, you're crazy, you've got to get Steele. Well, it's not even a question. Well, I don't know if it is. I actually reckon Ben Keys is a much better option.
The other option is Cripps to Mills.
Yeah, a bit more expensive though.
That's all right, I've got the money.
Well, I don't think. Mills 575 or something, isn't he?
I've got the money to cover that.
Yeah, so I've only got 565.
Yeah.
So I think I missed Mills.
But it's hard, once again, when you're low on trades, and as bad as Cripps was, he still pumped out at 95. Hardly the sort of performance that you trade him on.
Oh, 92, I think.
So...
It's just that it's at 3-round average 95, 5-round average 98. It's a big difference. That's 15 to 20 points every week.
Yeah. What's Mills' 3-round average?
We got 138, didn't he, last week or the week before? His 3-round is 103 and his 5-round is 112.
You've got
an 86 and 85 in his 2 weeks before the last.
Yeah, so if you're looking at a kind of 10 to 15 point average increase, is that enough to waste a trade at this time of the year?
Well, I think so. What else are you going to spend your trades on?
Look, there's a lot of there's 6 rounds to go. There's a lot of water to go under the bridge. So anything can happen from one week to the next. So,
well, look, so Keys' 3-round average is 113.
Yeah.
So that's 15. That's almost 20 points more than Cripps.
Yeah. Yeah. And he has a good injury record, Keys.
Oh yeah, no, he's very durable.
Yeah, very durable.
And the other thing is that Crisp's break even now is up to 110 or something like that. So you might start losing money if he starts losing money. Well, you can't do anything with him. You know, once he hits, once it's below 500K, you can't upgrade him.
Yeah, probably Crisp is the one that I'd look at upgrading before Cripps. I mean, this week's going to be really telling. If Crisp can't score well against Adelaide, that would have the red flags going up.
Awkward price.
Yeah.
He's a really awkward price at 489. He's just dropped too much. Now, if it stayed about 510, he'd be worth it. But, you know, can't even get Doherty for Crisps.
Well, so I always thought Doherty would fall away as well.
Yeah, well, where's Steve? He talked me out of him, remember, at the buys?
Yeah.
And you know what the irony is? The irony is I was going to get Doherty, and he absolutely convinced me, no, Doherty's an old man, he'll fall away after the buys. So you know who I got instead?
Who?
Chris.
Did you get Chris?
Fuck. Steve, where are you? What do you reckon, Dusty? I know you're very quiet because you've got two trades and you're going, what the fuck's a trade?
I'm interested in Danger. I wonder how many people will actually go for Danger.
I'm just too worried they'll rest him again.
Yeah, but he only needs to play six games, doesn't he? He's only been back for two. He's just warming up. So, I'm not going to do it myself, but he's 438K. Four of those games are down at Geelong. And they've got a really good run too.
Geez, it's a gutsy move.
I'd almost take that on.
It's a gutsy
move. Because he's the sort of guy that you can pull out of 180.
That's almost worth the risk, you know, because he's not going to score much less than Cripps.
And he also frees up some money for you, Jiska.
Yeah, well, he's not going to do much worse than Patrick Cripps.
No.
Well, you say you make 75K on that trade.
Yeah, leaves me 127K in the bank, which ironically can also get me Cripps up to Dawson.
Yep. So, and it also gets you Crisp to Stewart.
Yeah, that's tempting, isn't it? So you go Patrick Cripps and Jamie Crisp for, I'll get rid of Crisp and Cripps just so I don't fucking get the names wrong every week. Take both of them out and get Dangerfield and Dawson.
Yep.
Gee, that's tempting.
Yeah.
That's really tempting.
That's a positive move. And certainly Danger's going to be a pod.
Well, he's only 2% ownership at the moment.
And there's so people with so fewer trades. Is that the sort of trade that most people are going to do?
Yeah, gee, that's tempting, isn't it? I'm really tempted by that. I have to mull on that for a couple of days. I like that. I really like that because it leaves me with a bit of cash in the bank to do other stuff.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
So he's got his break evens at 45, so he's going to go up to 25, 30K. So you could arguably even hold and get him at 480.
Yeah, you could have another look and still make the trade.
I'm not sure if you need another look, though. I mean, surely he won't do much worse than 80 every week.
Well, they're going to play him in the midfield, not going to play him forward.
Yeah, it was the only other thing though is that he only scored 114 against Melbourne last week, and I reckon he was best on ground by a country mile. He was awesome last week. He just sliced us to smithereens, but he only scored 114.
Yeah, his biggest problem is his disposal efficiency.
Yeah, well, then again, when Cripps are scoring 90s, who cares?
Yep. Yep.
Now, yep. Food for thought.
Okay.
Food for thought. All right, I don't think there's anything else we need to discuss. So, Dusty, thanks for joining us. It's always good to have newbies on board. I hope you've enjoyed your time.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me.
No, glad to have you on board, mate.
And we just, thanks, good to see you as well, Wayne. And Steve, thanks for joining, even though you said nothing, did nothing and didn't come back. But we appreciate the thought anyway. Have a good night, people.
See you, everyone.
Okay. See you, guys.